When America's trading partners don't like all this electronic surveillance,
make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. The uproar over U.S. monitoring of the Internet and telephone records for reasons of national security could hit transatlantic trade. European lawmakers and privacy advocates say the revelations could derail plans for a U.S.-EU free trade deal. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The talks to free up US-EU trade are due to begin next month. So far, they've been overshadowed by the issue of farm subsidies and French culture. But now, European lawmakers say data protection has shot up the agenda. US companies had been pressing for fewer restrictions on cross-border data flows. Now those demands are likely to be resisted very strongly by the European negotiators. Privacy campaigner Nick Pickle says the PRISM revelations have undermined the whole cause of free trade.
I think one of the concerns that does come out of the shocking revelations about what the NSA has been doing is that people may well not see the US as a place that they can trust to do business with, and that's got to have massive repercussions for the global economy.
But some US observers say PRISM may not make much difference. The head of the National Foreign Trade Council in the US says the divisions between the US and Europe are already so deep, I don't think this can make matters much worse. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
It's been a tough weekend for the current employer of the guy who says he was the whistleblower on the big NSA story. Defense contractor Booz Allen Hamilton hired 29-year-old Edward Snowden earlier this year. Booz Allen released a statement saying it's shocked by the revelations. President Obama and Chinese President Xi Jinping are finished with their California summit. If there was a breakthrough, it wasn't cybersecurity or trade. It was on fighting climate change. The two countries agreed to phase out the use of harmful hydrofluorocarbons. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
Hydrofluorocarbons, or HFCs, are mostly used in automobile air conditioners, something the car cultures of the U.S. and now China have in droves. HFCs are also hundreds to thousands times more potent greenhouse gases than carbon dioxide. Derwood Zelke, president of the Institute for Governance and Sustainable Development, says the agreement by the world's two largest emitters of these gases to phase them out is significant.
Reducing the HFCs can provide the single biggest and fastest piece of climate mitigation available to the world through 2020.
That's when he hopes the new UN climate treaty will go into effect. Zelke says this new agreement, which could start as early as October, will cut global emissions by the equivalent of 100 billion tons of carbon dioxide. That's more than 10 times what the Kyoto Protocol has cut since it was implemented 8 years ago. And phasing out HFCs, says Zelke, will be cheap. Low-cost alternatives have already been developed. Good news for the world's two largest polluters. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. It starts with U.S. employment numbers that could have been worse on Friday. Then Japan revises its economic output up, and the Nikkei index in Japan today goes up about 5%. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%, but the FT 100 is down a point right now. The Dow went up 207 points on Friday. Dow futures are up right now.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
You know Keen sandals? They have a thing that protects the toes. After they became wildly popular, Martin Keen sold his company. Now the designer makes furniture that taps into the current office craze, desks you use standing up. Only with Keen's design, you don't quite stand. He joins us from Providence, Rhode Island. Mr. Keen, hello.
Hello, David.
Let's describe this a little bit. It's a nice piece of industrial design in the shape of a sloping workstation or desk. But there's an important thing here, a separate, I guess, pedestal with a pole stuck to it upon which there's a comfy tractor seat available in many designer colors. Is that a decent description?
That's correct, yeah. I jokingly refer to it as a human kickstand. In a way, it's just a support for you. Supported mobility, I think, is the term we like to use. So it allows you to remain upright, keep your feet on the ground, your head in the cloud, and be a much more productive individual.
I feel that if I've sat at a desk for 5, 6, 7 hours, I feel like I'm turning into a sack of potatoes or something. I just don't feel vigorous or focused.
I would agree. I think it's not something that we were really designed as upright people to be seated in this 90-degree posture. I think it really came out of a misguided understanding of what the chair, the status and iconic status the chair had, which was an aspirational thing. We saw deities. We saw pharaohs seated on stones. These were people that didn't have to work. Then the human factors and ergonomic principles that were developed really by our military in the during the World War I, World War II, were built around a seated man in a 90-degree posture. Then these were then applied to office ergonomics, which was a misguided principle. So we at Focal are really trying to throw this on its head and look at what makes man more efficient.
I just talked to a young guy who got a job at a tech startup, and they're all into their stand-up desks there.
Mm. I think it's a large trend. It's not a fad. It's a trend that people are feeling more productive, wanting to make themselves more productive by changing their posture throughout the day. So this is paradigm between sitting and standing. A lot of companies are finding, though, that they're spending thousands of dollars on standing desks, and people still remain in their seated chairs. So archetypically, this is not your grandfather's office chair. I think we realize that what we need to do is use products that make us better workers, make us more creative, and make us feel like we are not conscious of our posture.
Martin Keene has since moved on from his famous sandals venture and has founded Focal Upright Furniture. Martin, thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Ever used a standing desk? Some people chicken out after a while. What'd you think? You can Facebook APM Marketplace and give us your reactions. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.